great Kohan Benaiah Hawkins.
Shalom, everybody. Shalom. Shabbat shalom. You all be seated. You all be seated, put your seatbelts on, and listen with a believing mind, and then discern what is spoken here in the house of Yahweh. All right, today, of course, we're going to again examine the prophecies. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians. We got to examine the prophecies because we don't want to be fools, as Yeshua said to the disciples. And the message today is we have the prophecies made more sure. And we have to prove it, how that is made more sure. More sure than the disciples said. Right in 1 Thessalonians 5 and in verse 19, it says, do not quench the spirit. When you listen with a believing mind in the house of Yahweh, you do not quench the spirit. You're not hindering the spirit because you say, I will listen and believe the things I said, and then I will discern the things. All right? And it says, in verse 20, it says, do not neglect prophecies. Prove all things and hold fast that which is righteous. Okay? Now you see, here we have opportunity to prove all things. We have to prove that the house of Yahweh is real. We can prove it in many ways, the work of Yahweh, okay? We can prove it, and we will prove it. However, as you know, in 1 Corinthians 14, 22, it says, prophecy is only for believers, for true believers. See, you got to know a true believer will believe with these prophecies, which can be proven, and we can actually see it with our own eyes to be fulfilled in this end of this day, end of this age. All right, now, so remember that. So you have to prove to yourself that you are a true believer. And there goes more with prophecies, of course. The prophecies also, a true believer will also easily adjust to live by the every word of Yahweh. Because to live by the law of Yahweh, by every word of Yahweh, that comes first. Prophecies, you know, some people reject. You always got to prove it to them. And Yeshua told the disciples, he said, you fools and slow of heart. To believe what the prophets have spoken. Now, the prophecies of this end time and of this house of Yahweh in these last days and of his servant were a lot more than when Yeshua came. They had the prophecies fulfilled, and some believed they don't look for him at his birth. Okay? Now, there is a lot more. And besides that, Yeshua also prophesied of these days. He himself testified what is going to occur here in the house of Yahweh in these last days, all right? So in this way, we can have made the prophecies made sure. Okay, now, in 2 Kefa, look in 2 Kefa. 2 Kefa 1. Okay, 2 Kefa 1, and look in verse 15. See, Kefa, he wrote this letter for us. He is sleeping now, yet he speaks to us, okay? Because all things that were written for in former times were written for our learning in this end of this age, and with proof and overproof. He says, in verse 15, in 2nd, is 961 page. In 2nd Kefa 1, 15, I will endeavor to see that after my decease, that was before his death, he wrote this letter, you will always be able to remember these things. Now, these things which he wrote were not always remembered. It only came to remembrance in these last days, at the end of the age, after the house of Yahweh was established. All right? For he said, and then verse 16 is talking about him, but we, he talks about him and the disciples. It's not the we, us, the true believers in these last days. He says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you. See, he was talking about his time period, 2,000 years ago. When we made known to you the power and coming of our King, Yeshua, Messiah, but were eyewitness of his majesty. So, you know, it was in his time when he was alive, and they were eyewitness with Yeshua, all right? and what was handed down to them so that he recognized him. See, they didn't recognize who the Messiah was. Neither do they in these last days who the witness is. All right, now this is being made known now to all the world to see. So he received from Yahweh the Father honor and glory. And when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And his voice was brought from heaven. We heard it. Remember, mark that I'm brought from heaven. We have heard, being with him on the holy mountain. Now, where's the holy mountain, brethren? The holy mountain is the house of Yahweh. That is the holy mountain, okay? And no one heard the voice of Yahweh or seen his shape. So, how did they hear the voice of Yahweh? I mean, let's look. Okay, we also, now he's talking about us in these last days. We also, we who are called to the house of Yahweh, and we are true believers or trying to truly believe by proving all things. Yahweh said he will convict the world of sin, and he will prove to us. And the disciples said, prove all things. So he has given us solid proof through the scriptures, all right? We also, we, the true believers, now it's not the we he was speaking of before, we don't follow cunningly devised fables either. We also have the prophetic word made more sure, and we're going to see today how more sure is. There's so many things are spoken of. We're going to speak about it until Yahshua's return, about how we are certain and sure that these prophecies are true. All right? Now, with you will be able, we also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. That knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy did not come in former times by the will of man, but by holy men, listen to that, by holy men of Yahweh, who spoke as they were moved by Spirit Holy, as moved by those who kept the laws of Yahweh. Yahweh doesn't deal with any other people. Okay, now let's turn to how did this occur? These men spoke. They were law keepers, remember? Goes down from Adam down all the way down to our time period. Now, look in Ecclesiastes now quickly. In Ecclesiastes 3. In Ecclesiastes 3. All right. And look in verse 14. We know, that whatever Yahweh does, it will be forever, and nothing can be added to it, anything taken from it. Yahweh acts. Listen to that. Mark that down. And men will give him reverence. Yahweh acts. So Yahweh acted in these last days. He had a plan from the beginning for mankind, remember? And then in these last days he acted. He had prepared a man from the beginning of his plan when he designed that plan. In these last days from the womb he had a man set aside. And when Yahweh acted in these last days, and it was not when the man was born, you know, he did not know that he was the one who would come and establish the house, but the scriptures then later on they prove. So Yahweh acted, and man will give him reverence. So it was Yahweh activated this end of these days. And he acted, and he started his activation with a man. That man did not know what his future would be, what he will do. He couldn't have known until he started to act. And Yahweh acted, and he motivated us. Yahweh acted, and he called us to his house. Did you choose for yourselves that I'm going to go to the house of Yahweh? I did not know anything about the house of Yahweh, what it was or what it would teach or anything. I was not even interested in that. I had too many worldly things in my mind, too many vain things to see, chasing after dog's tail and Hillel's fables. No. Yahweh acted, and man will give him reverence. When you start to make a difference between the clean and unclean, you act on that behavior because it was written down. Hey, I believe that. I can eat that damnable pork. It's going to kill me. I remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Who told you that? You start to act. You see, Yahweh acts, a man will give reverence. You know why? You can turn over to Hebrews 4. To Hebrews 4, so you can prove for yourself. Hebrews 4, let's look at this, and then in Hebrews 4, in verse 12, how do we know that when Yahweh acts, men will give him reverence? For the word of Yahweh is living. The word of Yahweh, the law and the prophets, you get it? The law and the prophets is living and powerful and sharper. How is the word of Yahweh living? For true believers only, they activate it. Or else, an unbeliever will not say, well, I eat pork, my grandfather ate pork, my grandmother, they're dead now, but I keep on eating it. You see, we act and his behavior is living, it comes alive, because we believe in Yahweh. His name is Yahweh, you understand that? And this way, it comes alive. We are living proof that Yahweh lives, and that Yahweh is his name. Yes, the word of Yahweh, the law and the prophets is living in us with true believers. An unbeliever cannot make the word of Yahweh alive. He don't believe it. They don't believe it. How can you act? Yahweh acted for true believers only. No one can call unless Yahweh himself draws him. You understand this? No one can come. Now you see how when Yahweh acts, how come you give Yahweh reverence, huh? Without Yahweh would have activated his servant first, and we find out how he hid him in the scriptures. Okay, so the word of Yahweh is living, is powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the whole of body and spirit, the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Now, how is that? How can you discern? You know now, Yahweh convicted you that pork is unclean. I was picking pork, that's the easiest to understand, but that's every word of Yahweh we got to live by. Say, well, so you think and decide, no, I think I read it in the scripture myself, so I'm not going to eat it no more, all right, because it's harmful. And we have scientific evidence, we got everything proved that is unhealthy. And then you go into Leviticus and say, well, here is the clean and unclean law. And all at once you discern and you say, yes, this is the right. I believe Yahweh and this is the way I got to go. And which is not grievous. It's not grievous, it's for your own health. You don't carry a heavy load on you. And neither is there any creature, remember, that is not manifest in his sight. Remember, there's manifest creatures here. We're going to go even into the firmament and see what's going on there in his sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. If you know it or not, and if you ignorantly sin, you're still guilty and you're going to bear the consequence. Those people who never heard that, you know, they seem to be, they have nothing else to eat but the unclean food, like maybe in the jungle somewhere or anywhere. So they eat anything but crows and what don't eat them first, they probably eat. But yet they're guilty, they're suffering, they're going to die. Until somebody, doctor from the house of Yahweh comes and say, hey son, listen man or woman, this is the way, don't eat these things. And you can prove it to them, why not? And they will believe you when you get in contact with them. They will believe you, they're going to see the health in you because Yahweh is healing us, our mind and our bodies. All right, if we accept him. All right, now the next. When Yahweh acted, remember all these things in Romans 15, 4, it says all those things which in former time were written for our learning. Now you know how the word of Yahweh is living. It is living in the true believers. In unbelievers, now the whole town of Abilene or anywhere in the world, all the church filled with dotted with churches, they don't believe. Yahweh is not active in them at all. They don't believe him. Why don't they believe him? I don't know. You have to ask them yourself. So remember the end of the age. It signified that there would be... Okay, let's go to Zechariah concerning what occurred. See, Yahweh activated a man, all right? He activated something here in the prophets, which was foretold, and we can prove it now in Zechariah. Look in Zechariah 3, verse 8. And this is in the middle in the verse. It says, "For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch." Now that branch is not a tree branch. He says, "My servant." All right, my servant the branch. Now you go over here and see what that branch will do. He will bring forth when he activated in these last days, when the sins of mankind reaches to heaven, when they be able to destroy everything that Jahweh created for the benefit of mankind. And look in verse 6 now, all right? In verse 6 it says, in verse 12, "Speak to him and say, this is what Jahweh of hosts says, behold, the man whose name is the branch." Do you know anybody in the world? Nobody said, what? There's not such a thing as a man called the branch, you know? "For he will branch forth from his place, and he will build the house of Yahweh." What? The house of Yahweh. So we know now there is the branch. A man called the branch will build the house of Yahweh. Yes, in verse 13, "He will build the house of Yahweh. He will bear the glory, and he will sit and rule on the throne. He will be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace between Yahweh and him and Yahshua will be between both of them." You know, the peace of Yahweh which surpasses all wisdom. And that peace we're looking for. Nothing will satisfy in this world until you find the peace with Yahweh. And you can find that peace with Yahweh through his servant. And he is telling us. And so here we know the branch, all right? Now let's see. So that is a proof also. All at once the house of Yahweh existed. As it was written in Isaiah 2, it will come to pass in the last days, or it will come to pass at the end of the age, that there will be a house of Yahweh established. Now, the name of Yahweh says, "This is my name, and my glory will I give to no other house or name." Did anybody establish the house of Yahweh 2,000 years after Yahshua? When Yahshua was there, they destroyed the house of Yahweh. But Yahshua built a living house, a house made out of people. And, of course, also a place which is called the house of Yahweh, that even the chief of the nations got to admit, this is the house of Yahweh. Yes, we have documented proof. Prove all things. Now, surely, there's a book written. You can go over into detail, you doubters, or if you still have doubts, or scriptural fools and slow of heart. That's up to you. You can die, you honorable dummies. You must believe these things. The proof is given to us. Proof is given over and over. So he, the prince, all right, the man, the prince, and he's a servant. You can look in Isaiah 49, verse 3. "You, O Israel, are my servant." And Isaiah, he gives his name over and over and over. He mentions the name of Israel, his servant. Israel, through whom I will be glorified. He will be the judge of the earth. He will proclaim the message. He and those who believe him, truly believe him, they will bring forth the glory of Yahweh. Now, look in Psalm, in Micah 4, 1 and 2. You can see that also. Now, look at Psalm 19. See the house of Yahweh. If you don't believe we say this is the house of Yahweh, then believe it for the works it does. Yeshua said, if you don't believe me, believe the works I'm doing. If you don't believe the words that is being spoken here, then believe the works, and we're going to prove that works now, because it is explained, all right? Look in Psalm 19, all right? Psalm 19, 1 to 4. Okay, now, here we read, "Heaven's messengers proclaim the glory of Yahweh, and the expanse of the sky declares the works of his hands." Now, where are you going to see a heaven messenger? And you're going to look up there like the Christians do, or other faiths and beliefs. They're looking at that. There's got to be a messenger come from heaven. Remember what we read in Kepha, he said? He said, "And men, as they were moved by Spirit Holy, those men who kept the laws of Yahweh, they spoke. They were inspired. The message came down. Yahweh has power, you know, that to convince you, convict you of sin." And those men were convicted and convinced that Yahweh exists. So they become the glory. So the only way you're going to see a heaven's messenger come down, you have to go to the house of Yahweh. And I'm going to show you where I saw him. All right, now look in Revelations. All right, Revelations 20. And I saw Amalek come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and the great shine in his hand. I saw Amalek, you know. I saw him here because I see him here in the lighthouse. It showed me that's where you're going to see him coming. You can stay on the mountain, look all your life and for generations. You're not going to see nobody come down from heaven like Christians do now. They're deceived. They think they're going to hear a trumpeter with a great shout, and those who believe in Christ are going to be raising first. They're going to be so surprised. Then they're going to hear a piercing sound. They're going to picture a Malak there in the heavens, and he's going to have a big trumpet on. He's going to blow that makes everybody deaf, probably. But anyway, so you won't see that. But here in the house of Yahweh, you can see now, on the expanse of the sky, declares the works of his hands. So somebody made that work in there. If you look up, every night you can look up and see that the works of Yahweh, how that starry frame, the sun, the moon, and then you have all kind of things you can identify, the stars, and they never change. I remember when I was little and laying in a little hillside, I tried to count them, and now I look up a couple of moons later, and I see still the same stars. They didn't change, they didn't move. And anyway, so the expanse of the sky declares the works of his hands. And remember, the works of Yahweh's hands. These works did not exist by a big bang. Now, who made the big bang? It just exploded. Now, bang cannot organize things. Surely, that should be clear even for the simple-minded to understand. Okay, now the works. We can see now, look up and see that. Now, verse 2, and we're going to go into that in a little bit. That day after day, speech is uttered. Remember, we're talking about the works. If you don't believe the saying, believe the works. Day after day, speech is uttered, and night after night, knowledge is shown to them. Isn't that the message going forth now, 24 hours? The message from the house of Yahweh is illuminating the world. We get a response from everywhere. That is proof. Isn't that proof that the word of Yahweh is living? And there is no speech or language where their word is not heard. In other words, there is no place in the earth that this could not be interpreted in a correct way. Do you understand that? Now, how much proof will you want more? We have solid proof that this is going on. All these messages which come forth from the house of Yahweh, and even the message is published and preached, and this goes forth by the prophetic word. You understand that through the prophetic word, the message comes to mankind. And here it says there, right? There is no speech or language that it could not be interpreted. The message from the house of Yahweh. Even if the people never learn to read or write, but it can be explained to them what's going on. And it will be, and it is going on. There is no speech or language, you get it? Where the word is not heard. There it tells you the work of Yahweh. Their witness goes throughout all the earth, remember, on their story to the ends of the world. In them he has set out a house for a light. A lighthouse. Who built that house? Didn't we just read, and the man called the prince Hebel built the house? Isn't that proven of, unless you won't believe the scriptures? Now do you see how in Psalm 19, 1 to 4, how this can be proven? And he also, now, he didn't just set the starry frame, the works. There's work going on in the heavens. Now, look in, remember here he says, and the expanse of the sky declare the works of Yahweh. Now, let's see one of these works, all right? In Luke, in Psalm 7, now, these are the testimonies they give. In verse 7, he says, the testimonies of Yahweh are sure. They are very sure, the testimonies, all right? And look in verse Psalm 8, verse 3. We're talking about the works of Yahweh and the works of his hands, all right? In 8, verse 3, remember, and the heavens will declare now, in verse 3, 8, verse 3 in Psalms. When we consider your heavens, the work of your fingers framed, the work of the moon and the stars, which were by you ordained. So he did not say the works of the moon. The moon has a work. Oh, let's see what is that. Okay. Look in 89, in Psalm 89. So we know there's a work going on here. Psalm 89. And his throne, okay, his throne or the house of Yahweh, remember what Yahweh does is forever? And his throne, in verse 37, in his throne will be established forever, like the moon, the faithful witness in the sky. So Yahweh has set the moon there, not just to be admired, and some lunatics make all kind of romantic fables in their mind. No, he's a faithful witness in the sky. That is a work, not of a big bang. That is the work of our Father Yahweh, whose name is Yahweh and who created all things. A big bang cannot make a faithful witness. They all scattered abroad, like the whole world is right now, in Babylon confusion, which is Hillel's kingdom. And Yahweh called us out from his kingdom. And the house of Yahweh was also established. There's another work going on. You know, no one can come unless Yahweh draws him. The house of Yahweh is separating the way of the world from the way of Yahweh. And Jacob, in his dream, remember, he said, "And behold, what a wonderful place this is. This is none other but the gateway to the kingdom of Yahweh. So there's a door open for us to go into the kingdom of Yahweh, which will be an everlasting kingdom." So now he's separating. So you come into the house of Yahweh. Now here, the man of Yahweh, he has set a judge here. He knows we're coming all. He says, you cannot go into the kingdom with your traditions which cling to you. The traditions of men cannot come into the kingdom of Yahweh. You got to leave them behind. That means you might have to leave your families behind, your children, man and woman, everything. Leave them alone. Let them have their tradition. Say, I want to go into a kingdom where there's no suffering and sorrow. All right? So remember, this is the faith. And the moon, what is the faithful witness in the moon? He appoints it for the feast, setting the feast days. We're not wrong when we keep the feast days. In about 2 days now, we're going to the Feast of Trumpets. See, who tells us that? The moon. And Yahweh says, look for him. You see how the word of Yahweh is alive? Why you go out there and gaze for the moon, huh? You're going to see it. And you have seen it many times. See, it is active. Yahweh acted and man gives him reverence. How much more proof do you need? How much more proof do you need, huh? I don't need that much proof. But anyway, he's separating the way of this world from the way of Yahweh. We cannot drag anything in here. And that's why Yahweh has set a way how we can purify us. You cannot come in with traditions, and neither can you come in with the bad habits you picked up with your traditions. You cannot have bad habits. Can you imagine? You want to go in the kingdom and contaminate it again? No, sir. Not this way. You cannot come in this way. And that's why we have confession. He points out your sins, your faults, all things. He's the judge. Says, this and this and this cannot come into the kingdom. All right. So we do according to live by the every word of Yahweh is to live by every word of Yahweh. You must believe his messenger. He will tell you what to do and what not. Because you've heard the voice of Yahweh. He speaks through his servant, sent. You understand? He sent a man on. If you want to live by every word, if he says, don't do this, don't do that, don't do it. He just lifts a burden from your shoulder. Or say, do this, do this. It will bring joy into you. It will bring joy into every soul, every living soul. All right, now. So the prophet said, so, on the house of Yahweh and his witness, on the branch cannot be separated. Without the branch, there would be no house of Yahweh. Without the house of Yahweh, there would be no branch. Now, how much proof is that? They cannot be separated. Though Hillel tried to separate, smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Well, these are not ordinary sheep here. These are builds, shepherds. We're going to go forward and we will be shepherds until the chief shepherd appears. There's a great gathering coming up. There's great turmoil going on in the Middle East. Okay, there's a great turmoil going on. They're waiting for us. They're waiting for us until we separate us from the world and from all our mess we had picked up. And that's why praise Yahweh for the lighthouse, praise Yahweh for his messenger Israel, and praise Yahweh. Listen with a believing mind, whatever he says, and do it. And may Yahweh bless your understanding. And now have the opportunity to see more future events, the prophetic things. Greek Hans Evangel Hawkins.
Welcome, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. We've got a lot of news occurred between this last Sabbath and this Sabbath. And Pastor was talking last week about the hatred building up, and now we see proof of it, which is just a prophecy coming to pass, and it's going to get a lot worse. Actually, the events of this week are going to seem small compared to the events of the next few weeks. But we're going to start off with the river drying out completely, and they say the worst drought in this story, 65 years. And now we know why that is. It's because of these microorganisms in the firmament are being sick because of sin. So they're not going to solve this problem until they start to keep Yahweh's laws. And then we have the biggest strike in America in a generation, and that's in Chicago. And there's something like 29,000 teachers on strike. And I think they got it semi-solved, but I don't know if they got it solved yet. And something like 300,000, 450,000 students, which is a pretty low student-teacher ratio. But these teachers make 76,000 plus a year, plus benefits. So they're not exactly underpaid. And then Chicago is run by three big Catholic families. There's a West Bank protest. We have, of course, the U.S. ambassador that was murdered in Libya, Chris Stevens, and he was handpicked by Hillary Clinton. And he had a lot to do with the overthrow of Gaddafi. And a lot of this seems to indicate that this was actually revenge for that, which, remember, Hillary said, "We came, we saw, he's dead." And I doubt that helped matters. And then Russia Today, we have the violent protests all over the world that shows some of that. And then two U.S. soldiers killed in Afghanistan. And at the end, they talk about the significant damage to the British base. I guess it damaged a lot of planes, which they're going to get encouraged by these things because that was a heavily fortified base, and they did damage it with these relatively small arms that these groups have. So let's play the video. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins!
Hello, everyone! Well, what a crowd! Great, all of you. Sam is great. There we go. One last time. There you go. You better be seated. All this wonderful stuff on the news, showing that the prophecies are coming to pass. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. And his protection, of course, because it's getting a little upsetting out there, as you have noticed. These things that the world is dealing with right now. Now, we have broadcast this throughout what was the great so-called Holy Roman Empire, that it went for years before this started, not before it was planned. It was planned long before that, before it ever started. And of course, right now it's picking up, and just like the Pope ordered, of course. If you remember, and also the great Sophania Owens, Kohan Sophania Owens Hawkins, brought out just last week, was talking about this hatred and showing how it's prophesied for this time period, along with the deception of the world. And I hope everyone understood how we know that we're not deceived and the world is. Satan deceives the whole world, and then First Yochanan 3 says, "Don't be deceived by this." Well, what is he talking about? Doing away with the laws. Well, of course, Daniel said he would do away with it, and of course, this was under the leadership of Satan herself. But the world had to be, it had to be brought up to this point. And as Yahweh brought up his work through that woman, and of course a man to that he would train for the job of building the house of Yahweh and getting this message, the warning, distributed to the world, as Matithya, as the Savior said in Matithya 24, to all nations, and that before the end comes, or then the end will come, he said. Well, Satan, too, had to bring up this work and prepare it. It wasn't an overnight thing. You wouldn't see this kind of activity, not in Libya, you know. They thought someone got mad over there and threw a rock, and then here, you know, the trouble started. But it wasn't that way at all. It was this was a long-planned process, putting this man in the American ambassador in office over there. And of course, they had to have a leader. And when we first saw this, we said, well, who's leading this, you know, and who's paying the bills? Who's buying the clothing for these people and giving them food and so forth while they're doing this? Because this is going on 24 hours a day. So, anyone could plainly see someone was behind this with money, big money, to support armies. And of course, the Scripture shows who that is. We brought it out, who it is. Revelations plainly shows who it is and how the United States, the quartet, in fact, is involved in this. But the people, they, first off, you'd have to have a people who would be bred to violence, which we saw this last week. Then, of course, they would be taught this. And then actually trained in it before it would start. Otherwise, it would have stopped. You know, they'd have got hungry, went home, everything would have shut down. But the way it was a long-time battle that was planned, that accomplished the desires of a certain religion. Then you have the unhealthy mind. Because a person with a healthy mind, as original, with the original love, the original concern that Yahweh put in man and woman, they would not yield to something like that. There was an article came out yesterday, and you could add it to what was shown here this morning in the news and showing the hatred. And of course, along with this, the drought, because her sins have reached into heaven. I went to extremes to show this and what it talked about. But you will see this if you'll start watching for extremes or, the killings, the shootings, the knifings, that's going on right here in America. The teachers going on strike, you know, teachers that are drawing $76,000 a year, and you can see the selfishness in this. Who's going to pay this bill? Well, it's not the teachers that's going to pay it. The union is that they work for, the union that I said 50 years ago was bringing down America. This is going to bring down America because of their greed. And of course, you can still see it. Even though people are out of work by the millions, you know, they're struggling just for food, and that's running out. You can see the greed and selfishness here of these people. Not only this, but the farmers bureau, people that are involved in supplying food for the country. Now they're saying that here we have a drought that's taken the corn crops. And they said, and this is just the today. Here we have a bad drought that's reaching up through the corn belt, taking the corn crops. And yet we have people who are in business that brings big taxes into the government by producing what they call ethanol. Now, this takes corn, a lot of corn. And they were saying, you know, this is a time when we need the corn for the people to eat. And it's getting low, very low, and yet they won't budge because they want this money that comes from the ethanol, the big taxes that's put on that product. Well, the same with this, you know, with these confused decisions that you're seeing made in the world. Some people see this and they voice their opinions and they form uprisings. They're trying now to form a strong uprising to try to get the corn stopped from going into the ethanol business. Well, it probably won't succeed because of the lust for money. That's what's brought all of it about. But then I think maybe there's more to that too, because it seems like this famine is shown in Revelation 6 that it was also planned, and this is part of the taking the food away to where it can't be used for food, even though it's raised, and in spite of the drought, they still take it away. So it looks like it was all planned out. But still, you see the sick minds. And of course, this took years. This took many generations to build up over time. Dying, you will die. To where the decisions, proper decisions, can't be made. I want to read you an article here. It shows it came out yesterday, and I thought, well, that's just that's perfect for what I want to show. This says, despite a dispute over pork steak, results in death. St. Louis, Missouri. That's part of the corn belt, by the way. They got a pig belt too. They and instead of having a sign there for the city, they have a picture of the pig on the map. And for St. Louis, Missouri, I went to college not too far from there, and I remember that. St. Louis, Missouri, also was where a preacher. He was not Catholic, but a Protestant, and the history shows that they didn't want Protestants preaching in that city. They're very much Catholic, and they put him on a barge. They tarred and feathered him. They first told him not to come back, you know, just leave and don't come back. Well, he came back anyway, so the next time they tarred and feathered him, tied him on a barge and set him floating down that river that's dried up now. They couldn't do that now because the river wouldn't carry a barge. But anyway, this St. Louis, Missouri, John Cunningham is accused of killing his uncle after they became embroiled in a dispute over the cut of pork that they were cooking. The 43-year-old from Jennings, Missouri, has been charged with first-degree murder and armed criminal action after shooting his uncle. The shooting occurred on Monday after the two men began arguing over whether the meat they were planning to cook was pork steak or pork chops. Well, I could see why you'd start a war over that. Don't you see that? Why is that so hard to understand? Well, this shows the conditions of the minds now that we're seeing in today's society. So you think about this and you think about getting all these people to spend their time fighting. And is there any thought of the death and killing of people that's not even involved? Men, women, and children. Is there any thought of that that's going on now? We have this in 30 states this morning. That was the last update I heard. It was 28 the first thing this morning, then it's gone on up to 30 nations now. And probably it's still rising. But you would think, that no one, if you went to trying to get, someone came here and went to trying to get you to buckle on some guns and hand grenades and so forth, you'd tell them that's crazy, of course. But here they have enlisted all of these men for this. It's almost like it is a crusade. And we'll see here in just a moment who put this on. We know, you saw it on the news, they finally admitted that the ambassador to Libya, the American ambassador to Libya, was the one that led this, or was a big part in leading this first one to get the king out of office. And of course, this film the other day that was made by a Israeli intelligence officer. And once this thing was put out, they knew what it was going to do. And it just got out of hand more than they thought it would. But now listen to this. You think now this fight between these two men and the man shooting his uncle and probably no regret. Probably he was proud of himself for doing this. He's behind bars now, of course, so he may be thinking twice about it and maybe saying he should have killed him in another way, but not that he shouldn't have killed him, The thing of it, the thing that's put into the people's minds right now, and Scripture shows this. I showed you last week how Yahshua said that it's going to be the worst time ever. But if you think about the hatred now, he said it's going to be like the days of Noah. It's full of violence and hatred, as Genesis, the sixth chapter, showed. But Yahshua added to that in Matthew 24 and about verse 21 and 22, he said, this is going to be the greatest ever, the greatest famine, the greatest sickness and diseases, but the greatest hatred too. Remember, he said, because iniquity abounds. This came from the Catholic Church. Because iniquity abounds, the love will wax cold. Well, if you don't have love, then there's nothing binding between you and your brother. And that's the reason that the Yochanan was inspired to write. If you don't keep the laws of Yahweh, if you don't keep the commandments, you don't love your brother. There's no love at all. And if you say you love him, you're a liar. If you don't keep the laws that institute love. Well, there is no love left now. There's plenty of selfishness. But this article goes on and says, food has been at the center of other violent crimes of late. Early in September, a man allegedly stabbed and killed another man over a bag of Cheetos. Near St. Louis, near the St. Louis Convention Center in Port Moraine, Pennsylvania, George Roman allegedly attacked his son and daughter-in-law after they served him chicken that was baked and he wanted fried. Now, you can see you can see how the minds are gone, the brains. In Revelations, the sixth chapter, we see here, and we pointed this out for years, but I want to rehearse it to you because Yahweh shows here who is doing this, who's the instigator. And of course, this is such a complicated thing. Malachi Martin has got a pretty thick book trying to explain the keys of this blood and how this thing has been planned down through the years. I'll try to have you some maps of the Roman Empire and the unions that formed and has now come together again to redo the so-called Holy Roman Empire because they want a one-world government to where they can dictate. They're against dictators, but they are not against dictators. But they want the dictation coming from the popes and not someone that is against the popes. They want a dictator in office, you know. You can plainly see that. The Pope wants to dictate. They want to rule. And, of course, this is what Yahshua said will never work. But here in the sixth chapter now of Revelations, notice carefully that I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Well, of course, the Lamb, the way he opened the seal, if you remember all the sermons that we have gone through showing this, the Lamb is the one that beholds his work, the branch, in the last days. So he says to the branch, or makes it possible for the branch to have the understanding, blessed is he that reads, remember, and those who hear, and then, of course, keep those things, that the branch who the includes all of you, the house of Yahweh. Remember, the branch branches out and builds the house of Yahweh. And then the house of Yahweh takes this to all nations. So he opens the seal by inspiration, of course, making it possible for this work to say, look here. Look and see. And pay attention to what is shown here. Well, he said, he opened this seal, and I heard, as it were, one of the four. Now, this is, of course, the quartet. It's mentioned back in chapter 4 and verse 6, the quartet that was formed in 2002. We wrote about that in the 70s, by the way, the quartet that would be formed. Living creature saying, as with a voice like thunder, come and see. Well, he showed this white horse in verse 2, and he that sat on it had a bow, that is, the power of the army. As Daniel said, the army would stand with him, join with him. And a crown was given unto this religious leader, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Conquering and to conquer. Well, this is in the time now of the quartet. He existed long before this. But in the time of the quartet, and this is what he's using, the armies of the quartet, of course, to bring about this uproar with the sick minds that has been brought up, that Satan made sure that they would be sick and without and full of hatred and bitterness, and you didn't cook my chicken, you didn't fry my chicken, bang. You know, this shows what we're dealing with, and not just in, you know, this was just a few cases in one little town. You know, it's like listening to the Abilene Reporter News or the Abilene News of a morning. So-and-so got killed at this apartment. Over here, four got killed. Somebody shot them all. These two men went out, they were robbing cars, and somebody came out to try to stop them. They shot him. They arrested one man who had been robbing, he said, 20 automobiles, burglarizing 20 automobiles every night. 20. The man was getting rich. No, he wasn't getting rich. He's getting little things out of these cars that he could take to the hawk shop and sell. You know? And I don't know any more about it than that. Don't know that really, but that was what was on the news. But anyway, the sick minds that we have here. So, and he's using them, these sick minds, to conquer, conquering and to conquer. And when he opened the second seal, the Lamb said, it's time to preach this. That's opening the seal. I heard otherwise it would still be shut, remember, all the sermons. I heard the second creature saying, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, like the color of blood, and power was granted him. Notice this is given to him. Authority, this power means authority, was granted to the United States to do this. The quartet to do this thing. Granted to him that set upon it, upon this authority, to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword, or the greatest army, greatest equipped army there was. Did anyone notice that the Pope was in Lebanon this week? Pope arrives in Lebanon with this message of peace, of peace. He arrives in Lebanon with this message of peace. The three-day visit comes as war rages in neighboring Syria, in the aftermath of a mob attack that killed several Americans in Libya, including the U.S. ambassador. I have come to Lebanon as a pilgrim of peace, the Pope said with his arrival in Beirut. As a friend of God and as a friend of men, he also praised, now listen to this closely, he also praised the Arab Spring uprising. You've done a great job, men, just what I told you to do. He also praised the Arab Spring uprising, which have ousted four longtime dictators. It is the desire for more democracy. Now, where is that being pushed the most? By the quartet, of course, but by this great army that takes peace from the earth. For more freedom, that is, freedom to stop keeping any moral laws, freedom from the laws of Yahweh. That's the screwed up minds, too, that also tried to put that in the apostles' writings. They didn't quite get away with it because there was too many copies of it, too many copies of their writings. If you think about the time that it takes to handwrite those manuscripts, it took about 17 years, I'm told, to write for one man. This is 17 years' work. The man was ready to retire when he got through with that one book. Now think about that, and then think about the printing press and the King James Bible, because all of this has to do with the bringing up out of Egypt, bringing up in these last days. It will no longer be said that he's be known for bringing them up out of Egypt, but from the ones that Yahweh will be known from here on after this, bringing people out, using the work done in the protected place. Praise Yahweh. It is the desire for more democracy, more freedom, for more cooperation, of course, with the Catholic Church as she dictates, rapes the children, makes sodomites out of them. They left out a little here in this article. I just thought I would add that in. That's in the latest news. For a renewed Arab identity. Now get this, a renewed Arab identity. So that is in the plan here to, as Mary said now, you remember Malachi Martin, he said before it ever started in Afghanistan to take peace from the earth, Malachi Martin wrote in the book, The Keys of This Blood, he said that Mary is going to wage war on the Arab nations. They're going to give them a new identity. That new identity is supposed to be Christianity. It is going to backfire, of course. Rome is going to be burned. It is going to be burned. I hate to see war. I hate to see anyone destroyed. But, of course, they're bringing this upon themselves. This is what they're bringing on themselves. Yahweh is not doing this to them. I wouldn't do it to them. He's allowing them, these Israelites that built Rome, he is allowing that to take place. He's allowing this system to rule the world at this time. Well, of course, their rulership has lost its power. It started losing its power at a certain time. That was for the purpose of bringing up this work, because we had to have Bibles, and they had to be in the hands of the people. So keep that in mind. 17 years to redo a manuscript. 17 years. Now we can do it in 17 minutes or less. You know? And got printing presses all over the world. I was laughing the other day because I worked I worked in a print shop at the college. And this printing press that we had there, it probably was about 12 to 14 foot long, the one printing press. And that wasn't all of it. We had a lead typesetting machine that actually melted lead, and you could form this into little plates as long as you wanted the print on the page, and you put the words in there, and this would pour the ink down on this, on these preformed letters, and then it would cool off, and you take the little plate out. It was about an eighth of an inch thick, whatever size you needed for the type, and then you would hand place that into what they call it? It was a tray, but it had ends that screwed in to keep it fastened securely. Then you would get about one page to a setting. You would carry that one page up there, carry it up these stairs. This machine was about 4 to 6 foot tall, and you carried it up these stairs and placed it in the rack where placed them all together. And when you got so many pages there, all put together, then you could start your press up, and it would roll these rollers underneath the paper, pushing it up against the ink. and then after that, another ink roller would come across, and it would push the paper up again on the ink. And each time you would get a sheet of paper out the other end of that thing that normally had about 6 or 8 pages, something like that, to that for your book or magazine. It took a long time, even with that press right there. And the work that the history shows the first people did that built the presses, you know, I could see what they were doing and how it improved of course, over the years to what we have today, where we type it in with a computer and it comes out the other end already done, you know, and very little work to it, I'm told now. Even when we started this at Abilene, you know, the printing system had not gone yet to computer. And we had the computers we have today. But we had a typesetter in one room that took up all the room. You had to make plates with it, and then you would take those plates and place them in a exposure where you could get a picture off of it, and then you would take your printers then, or your copiers, place it in there, and that's what we run the pages off on. It was a very slow process even then, much faster now, extremely faster now. But all of that came along for the purpose of this work right here, and just in time, too. Just in time. In this time period. If knowledge had not increased in the time period when Yahweh said it would, if that knowledge had not been used for what Yahweh said that it would be used for, and that is war, if the bombs, if the computer had not been built, and if the bombs, if the computers had not been used to build the bombs, or if the computers had not been used to build the planes that carried the bombs, or the missiles that carried the bombs. And all of this, if it had not been done in this generation, you might have some room to doubt. Otherwise, that's the reason Yeshua said, you're a fool if you don't believe this. You know, anyone can see that Yahweh predicted every bit of this down to the point where I'm standing here speaking to you. He predicted this. Yes. And all for this time period. No other time period. Had to be this one. But you don't have any room to disbelieve. Now, the only thing you can do if you're hoping for Satan to win out, you know, I guess would be to pray to Satan to go ahead and destroy heaven and earth, but you're going to be destroyed in it anyway, you know. But that's the only thing that's going to change Yahweh's plan. If Satan somehow got the power to destroy the heavens and the earth, you know, she would wipe out all beings in the universe, then Yahweh's plan would not go through. I don't think she's got that power. I'm praying that she don't. I'm praying that Yahweh will end this thing really, really soon, too. But you can see here from this article that he's all for everything that's going on there. In fact, the as you can see here in Revelation 6, he's the one that set it up. He set up this whole thing. Now, like it was given the Pope, this was given unto this, as you see it there, the word, this was granted. We put granted, I believe the King James Version said given. Well, power or authority was given unto him. He's not doing this on his own. The United States is not acting on its own. Neither is any of the other members of the quartet. They're all shown to be in unity with this thing, except for Russia. Now, Russia and China is a different thing here. And, of course, Malachi Martin named them and said the only reason that Russia is in this thing is because she's a pansy right now. But she could turn into a grizzly, he said, overnight. Well, with Putin in office, you know, this is what's taken place, that Russia is standing up and saying, no, we can't allow this. China is joining her and saying we can't allow it. North Korea is joining Iran and saying we can't allow this. North Korea has nuclear bombs. They're afraid that Iran is going to build nuclear bombs. She may already have nuclear bombs, and they may be aimed at Israel right now because Israel will suffer damage. That is the land of Israel. But it was given unto them to do this, just as the Pope, it was granted to him to change the laws, the feast days. That's the reason none of the religions do this today. If you think of all the struggle that went into this, there's tons of history behind this destruction of the Word, forbidding the words, forbidding the Bible to be owned, forbidding the Bible to be printed. Well, all of that had to change. It did change. Of course, it took a black plague to change it and start turning the tide because the Catholic Church had it under her control. Every pope that came along, they would kill a few more people because there was uprisings within the Catholic Church. Ones who had, in the Catholic Church, they had access to the manuscripts. The manuscripts were not all destroyed. And many, they would change it, and they would have changed it, had it not been that they knew that there were other manuscripts or copies of these manuscripts by probably millions out there. And this is what kept the woman going, too. We'll get deeper into that. But this woman that came down, the gossiping women, the woman that put together what is called the woman, and these gossiping women from generation to generation carried this message of the prophets and, of course, the apostles that Yeshua trained. And this woman, although not the house of Yahweh, that the work started with a single woman. And you remember all the work that we went to on that. Well, this spread, of course, as Yeshua said it would. Don't bother this work right here. And it spread, and it kept spreading throughout the Roman Empire, the great Roman Empire. Now, if it was ever discovered, if they had tools of discovery, like a menorah they were caught keeping the Sabbath, because all of that was outlawed by Constantine. When he said, you're going to keep the first day holy because we don't want anything to do with the rebel of the Jews. Talking about, of course, the Galileans, where this gossip started and spread and brought forth this woman clear down to our time, to America. And these people that came to America, you know, they were fleeing for their lives. And of course, by that time, you know, they were afraid to own anything. There might have been some manuscripts, you know, snuck through and got into America, but they manuscripts, you know, they don't last that long. And of course, they had to be recopied, and that talent was lost from, seemed like, from the history that I see of America and the struggles that they went through. Nevertheless, they carried by word now, word of mouth, messages about Yahweh and the work he had done through the prophets and apostles. And it also carried the history of the Catholic Church, how she burned people at the stakes, not wanting them to own a Bible or any part of a manuscript, not wanting them to keep the Sabbath or any form of holiness. Well, that any form of holiness is what she's trying to stamp out right now. And this is what Malachi Martin was talking about when he said, Satan is going to make war against these people. Well, why? Because prophecy showed She's going to stamp out, trying to stamp out any form of holiness. This has gone on for years, but it never was done. But now they intend to do it. And they intend to depopulate the earth. And when it's over, they hope to be in dictatorship of what is left. But Yahweh says they won't. They won't be any more of their dictatorship throughout the earth. We will take over. That is, the kingdom of Yahweh will take over what is left, the 2 billion people that is left of this. I've got, praise Yahweh. I've got all of these things lined up to bring you, everything I've mentioned. I've got them all lined up to bring you. And of course, I hope by the last day of the feast to have finished all of this. But I really need you to pay close attention. Reread these things if you can. Re-listen to them if you can. Get them in your minds. There's a lot to learn here. But you need to know the plan of Yahweh and see how he's brought this thing through from Abel. He didn't let Abel's work get destroyed. Abel was killed, but his work was not destroyed. And of course, you still ask at Abel to get an answer, remember? Well, that's the way you ask today. You asked at Abel to get the answers, and we got them. We're the only ones that understand it. And all these hidden secrets, all of these secrets, Yahweh says, is going to be revealed to you in this time period. And you'll see the beautiful plan here and how Yahweh has protected every bit of it, and he will protect you. This is going to be the worst time of trouble ever, but you will be protected unless you run to save your life. And then you will lose your life. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you! Yeah.